Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very senior and accomplished professional from currently North Carolina, USA, Karen Ziegler. Karen, welcome to the show.
Well, I thank you, Ash, for having me. It's a definite delight to be with you today.
Thank you. Karen is the founder and lead consultant of Designed for Innovation Consulting. She's the host of a podcast, which is Cultivating Potential. And in 2022, Karen was named in the LinkedIn 1,000 plus Inspiring Women for Leadership. Congratulations. So, Karen, let's start by asking you about your own journey. Tell me a little bit about your own journey that brought you to Designed for Innovation Consulting.
You know, I don't think my journey is any different from anyone else's. We're always looking for that it in our life that fulfills us, that we were created to do and deliver, you know, that particular way that we are called to serve in the world. So, you know, my journey has been one of first seeking outside of myself for what it is I'm supposed to do. And that led me through multiple different careers. But eventually we all come, I think, to the realization that what we're looking for is within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so it was a journey inward to find what is it that is within me that I'm supposed to bring out into the world. And that has led me to Design for Innovation, creating that organization, because I believe it is the gifts that I'm here to bring to the world after much study of the different things in my life that have worked and not worked and what I'm best at. So that's kind of the journey in a nutshell.
Fantastic. And how do you define innovation consulting?
Well, you know, I think when people think of innovation, they think of, you know, the Elon Musk, the Steve Jobs, the Thomas Edison, those people of the world. Mm-hmm. But and that is, you know, they are inventors and they are definitely innovative. Mm-hmm. But those are qualities that we all have and possess. We may not all live up to the level of an Elon Musk, mm-hmm. or a Steve Jobs, but we all have that element of creativity within us.
Correct.
And coupled with our skills and gifts. And so, you know, I think when it all boils down, the reason we're all here is to make the world a better place. Absolutely. And that's what innovation is all about, or what I believe it should all be about. And that is, you know, how does each individual show up to make their world a better place, their world being their family, their community, the organizations they work for. Mm-hmm. And that's what innovation is to me, making, you know, where it is you reside in the world a better place. And you do that through innovation.
Well said. You also say that you create content at the intersection of leadership and design thinking. Please explain this and do give some examples.
Sure. Well, you know, design, if you're familiar with design thinking, or those of your audience that may or may not be, design thinking is a creative problem solving process. Mm-hmm. And it's really evolved over time. When design thinking first started, say 50 something years ago, it was all about the products and how do we innovate a better product, mm-hmm. and design a better product. But just as our society has evolved, so has design thinking. You know, mm-hmm. after the industrial age, when the focus kind of went away from products, obviously, mm-hmm. we still create them, but it went more into the service realm. Design thinking evolved into a creative problem-solving technique that was applied to how do we provide better service? Mm-hmm. And even now it's evolving to how do we provide a better experience for our customers? Mm. You know, how do we provide better business models? You know, our business models are broken. There really isn't a problem that creative our design thinking cannot be applied to. Mm-hmm. You know, part of my journey was discovering that I had always applied that technique to leadership, and specifically high performing teams, high performing organizations. Mm. So that's because that is where I've always applied it. When I discovered that my natural gifting was using those, that process of design thinking, mm-hmm. you know, I couldn't really go out and sell myself as, oh, I'm a design thinker to improve your product or to mm-hmm. improve your service, because mm-hmm. I had not used it for those purposes. I had always mm-hmm. used it for a leadership purpose. Mm-hmm. And so that's mm-hmm. where I began to write about it and, help leaders figure out how to use it as a leadership principle, mm. because I believe it is at its core a leadership principle. And when you use it as a leadership technique, then not only do you design better teams, higher performing teams, but in the developing of those little innovators you have under mm. your care, mm-hmm. you will in fact design better products, better services, mm. a better experience for your customers.
Fascinating. And if you, when you're called in into an organization by some leaders, mm-hmm. can you share, without, of course, giving any names, what are some of the challenges some of these leaders are facing, and how do you step in and help them?
Well, actually, read the headlines, Wall Street, Harvard Business Review, any of those, and you'll see the challenges they're facing. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic, it was digital transformation and how do we pivot to, go from a hands-on taking care of our customers to a totally online taking mm-hmm. care of our customers. Now with the great resignation, it's, oh my goodness, how do we create an experience that attracts employees, that keeps employees, that engages them? Each organization is unique in what the challenges are they're facing, but I think as a society, there are some broad issues that organizations are all facing together. Mm. And that is just, a result of the factors that are going on in society.
Correct.
So it runs the gamut, mm-hmm. but, every organization has their pain points, and mm. those pain points are really what usually we focus on when they bring me in.
Mm. And when you're called in, what is the process that you would probably follow?
Yeah, well, it starts and ends with the leaders and design thinking. Mm-hmm. And I practice what I preach mm-hmm. in the fact that, design thinking has five phases: empathy, define the problem, ideation, prototyping, and testing. And so mm-hmm. I start right there with empathizing with the leaders that I meet with, mm-hmm. And the challenges they're facing. What often happens is leaders see their need for organizational performance to create value for their shareholders mm-hmm. and whatever challenge they're facing as an opposition, when in fact those things, there is an intersection where those things meet. Mm. And that's the sweet spot where the innovation takes place, because they're not in opposition. They're actually, one of the great philosophers of old says, the obstacle is the way. So what is their problem actually is the way to their success. And I help them find that through design thinking.
How interesting. And yet, when you talk to senior leadership about change and transformation, there is generally a resistance, because each one of us loves status quo. how do you handle this challenge of saying, I know there's a problem, but I don't want to change?
Well, I disagree in that we love the status quo. Mm-hmm. You only need to look as far as New Year's resolutions or people planning their vacation or maybe redecorating their homes, whatever the case may be. We actually love change and new things, but Correct. We like it when we have created it. Mm. And so the resistance comes to when we're forced to do something. Mm. But when we're creating it, which is what innovation is, in my opinion, creating the change we want to see, then it's exciting. So it's really about flipping that switch from fear to to what you're excited about and what you love. You know, that's there's a fine line between fear and excitement. And and I believe that line that makes the difference is creativity and creating it for yourself, creating the change you want to see.
Wonderful. Great response. Thank you. You also state, Karen, that the creativity of people gives rise to innovation. On the one hand, you know, it's perfectly understandable, this line, but given the fact that you are, you know, an innovation consultant, help me understand this with some more examples and maybe some more depth about what you are, how creativity of people can give rise to innovation.
Sure. You know, I wrote a blog post about the next big innovation in your organization is hidden in plain sight. And that post is all about, you know, companies are so busy looking on the horizon for the next big innovation and trying to buy these startups so that they can bring innovation into their organization. What they don't realize is they've run the innovation out of their organization by running their employees off, by not letting them use their creativity and their innovation. And then they see them outside and they want to bring them back in. But then I believe the number statistic is 75% of mergers, innovative mergers and acquisitions fail because they bring that, that innovation back and then they squeeze the creativity right out of it. back to your question, you know, everyone is unique in the experiences they bring, the ideas they bring, the creativity they bring. Because of the way organizations have been set up historically, I do believe this is changing. Those things about individuals have been pushed aside, disregarded as important, and just really ignored. And I think that's part of the Great Resignation as well. But when you can recognize those qualities and tap into those qualities to elevate the performance of your organization, the delivery of experience, you know, there's not a role that you can't point to within an organization that can't be improved by tapping into that for your organization. So leading by design does that. You, through the empathy phase and the ideation phase, using that process with your team, with your employees, you begin to develop that and nurture it and grow it rather than ignore it.
Well said. You also speak about how performance can decline over time without innovation. And yet, and yet there is the other old management line which says, don't fix it if it ain't broken. So I'd
That's
love to get your perspective.
Line.
I know, but it's been coming down for years. So help me understand how performance can decline and how do we fix it?
Well, performance is, if you think about, it's almost like the, and I probably won't quote the right term, but you know how a product has a marketing life cycle. Well, obviously, companies are made up of products and services, and they all have life cycles. And so if you are just staying on that trajectory of what you doing, what you've always done, just like product and services have a life cycle, it's going to eventually decline.
I agree with you.
But when you add innovation in there, then you can continue that trajectory with improvements and innovation so that it continues an upward trajectory. And so over time, what you do will not stay the same. It will be tweaked and tweaked and tweaked and into infinity. I mean, there is no end in innovation. But it always has to be tied to what your purpose is as an organization. You know, I wrote an article recently that I think that people, the reason there is so much burnout in organizations today, because they've made their mission to be an innovative leader rather than their mission to, you know, improve the lives of individuals through, you know, providing electricity or, you know, home goods or whatever the case may be, whatever your purpose is, you know, they've made innovation the purpose rather than the purpose of their organization. That leads to burnout because innovation is infinite. And you can't chase infinity. You can only chase the reason you're here to serve. And so innovation is not a means to a purpose-driven mission. Innovation is the means to the purpose-driven innovation, if that makes sense.
Well said, well said. And what is the role top management has to play to be implement some of your recommendations on innovation within their organizations?
Well, obviously, you know, leadership's role hasn't changed. They are there to create a clear vision, a clear direction. They're there, obviously, to use their instincts to determine, you know, what of the this creativity that they're developing in their organization, you know, what's going to get, what do they see with their instincts and their gut is going to lead them towards that purpose that they're going for. So their role hasn't changed, really. It's to cast the vision, to make the tough decisions, you know, to that's going to guide the organization forward. It's just the methods have changed. It's not command and control anymore. It's about designing it, the experience where customers, employees, and the resources of the organization come together to make make the world a better place.
Interesting.
For whatever purpose that it is they have.
Yep. Karen, you've also spoken about the Great Resignation in the last 15 odd minutes that we've been speaking. I'd love to get your thoughts if you have addressed the challenge of Great Resignation with some clients. And if yes,
sure.
What are some of the innovative thoughts that you have recommended to handle this challenge the world is facing?
Well, there's a number of issues. It's a very complex issue.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which I've written a lot about, but I think there's a number of factors. One is the organization's role towards the employee. If you look at the process of human trafficking and the controlling of individuals for profit in a negative sense, there are 10 signs or scenarios that happens in the negative human trafficking world.
Right.
Sadly, there is a business equivalent in all of them. Of the control and manipulation of people for profit. That has to change. That's part of the very reason people are leaving organizations. They've woken up to that fact that they're being manipulated and they're being used, basically. That's what human trafficking is, using someone for your own benefit.
Correct.
So there's not a mutually beneficial relationship there. And so employees have woken up to that fact and they're leaving. But, you know, I don't think that employers are nefarious, you know, evil traffickers by any means.
Yes.
But they do need to be aware of how maybe their actions are aligning with those that may not have the purest of motives. Secondly, the pandemic really enlightened, I guess, individuals to the fact that life could be over tomorrow. You know, we are not, it doesn't matter if you're a millennial or you're, you know, a senior citizen, you don't know how much time you have.
Correct.
And living your life in the manner that you choose to live it, not only benefiting yourself, but benefiting the world is what's most important.
Well said. Yep.
And if I'm not being able to do that for the large majority of the day that I spend working, then I need to change. And so, because I don't know how much time I'll have to have that impact that I want to have. And so that's another reason why employees are leaving. They don't have that ability to do that within their organizations. But I believe with leading by design, they absolutely can. They can have the fulfillment that they desire working within an organization. Those gifts and talents that are within them can be brought forth. They don't have necessarily have to leave an organization to allow that to happen, especially when leaders are leading by design, because they're tapping into that and they're allowing employees to thrive in that manner in the role they play, or perhaps it requires a shift in roles to get them to where they need to be to use their gifts and talents. But every employee has them. Leaders just haven't been effectively tapping into them.
Oh, interesting. Let me now move to two other parts of what you are doing. One is your podcast, and the other is, you know, you're being named in the LinkedIn 1000. Tell me a little bit about your podcast, Cultivating Potential.
Actually, the podcast really is all about the first part of what I do in innovation consulting. And that is, you know, how do we tap into the creative potential, the innovative potential of our employees? So it's really designed to give leaders a tool for learning how to do that. And so I interview some great authors, some great leaders that are doing that every day. And it's a helpful resource for leaders that perhaps, you know, really they're used to focusing on their goals and, you know, pointing their employees in that direction. But not in a way that uses their gifts and talents.
Wonderful. And also tell me a little bit about what you do on LinkedIn and what made you in the top 1,000 inspiring women on leadership.
You know, I don't know what made me make that list, other than the fact that the content that I put out is really resonating with people and making a difference. That's my best guess. I was certainly honored to have that designation. And I do hope that, you know, it's useful. What I put out is of service to those that
read it. I'm sure it is. I've seen some of your blogs and a lot of sense. So let me come to my last question, Karen, and this is for the many people who will listen to our conversation. Given your amazing background and all the great work that you're doing in innovation with many organizations, what would you say are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from our conversation?
Three lessons. The first one is the performance of your organization that you're seeking to benefit your shareholders and the world is not mutually exclusive from the problems that you're facing. The problems that you're facing are, in fact, the key to innovating and continuing to outperform your competitors and continuing to serve in the way that your organization wants to serve. I don't know if that's one or multiple ones, but that would be my first takeaway.
Okay.
And repeat the question again. Give me a minute to give you a couple more.
Basically, what I'm asking you is, what are three lessons you would want our viewers and listeners to take away from everything that you are doing?
You know, I avoided philosophy when I was younger, but I come to find out that I'm quite the believer in philosophy. But aside from the obstacle is the way, I would also say that as within, so without. You know, so many times organizations are looking outside of themselves for the answer, when in fact the answer is within themselves. Just as it is for us as individuals.
Correct.
And I believe that's one of the assets that I bring to the table in helping them find those answers within themselves.
Right.
They just have to ask the right questions. And that's part of the empathy of design thinking, is asking the right questions to find those answers within ourselves, within our organizations.
Well said. And on that note, Karen, and your wonderful lessons, which is performance of your organization is not mutually exclusive from the problems you are facing, and the answer lies within. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for talking to me about your journey, about Design for Innovation Consulting. We had a fabulous conversation on innovation, and I learned some very interesting new thoughts on innovation. Thank you also for speaking to me about your podcast, Cultivating Potential. Thank you again, and good luck.
Yes, I appreciate it. I'm so grateful to be here today. Thank you, Ash.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.